from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks at the State Capitol Building in Pierre. Today, we have updates for you from South Dakota's 101st legislative session. First, we'll discuss the aftermath of a tense crossover day, a parental rights bill some are hitting pause on, a property tax bill debate, and even more. It's Wednesday, February 25th. Here are today's stories. Crossover day is done. Now, with several bills killed, wounded personal relationships, and battle lines drawn, lawmakers are preparing the sprint to the finish line. SDPB's CJ Keen has more.
Senator John Carley's absence was consequential for crossover day, and now Senate lawmakers are sifting through the debris to salvage the 2026 session. In a statement, Carley writes, quote, "I had an unexpected health issue come up, but I also find it ironic that being absent worried some that the executive branch might not be able to break a tie, and by default, it was actually representing the request of my constituents because an absence now is more powerful than a no vote. However, not everyone is convinced. Senator Michael Roll, who stood opposed to ending the search for Carley, doesn't buy that he was ill."
In fact, I think it was really telling that Senator Pischke had told media sources yesterday that it was going to be an exciting afternoon and like a first of a kind, I think, or something along those lines.
Senator Pischke was absent for a vote earlier this week. Roll says abandoning a seat for political purpose, be it fear of repercussions from a vote or gaming the system to kill a bill, is an example of something lacking in the Capitol this session. Statesmanship.
Being a statesman would be coming here and doing your job and understanding the role and being able to leave it on the Senate floor when you walk off the Senate floor. You know, when we're in that body, that body's meant for us to argue and to debate, and that's why there's rules, and that's why there is different parliamentary procedures in process. But at the end of the day, you still go grab dinner, you still have to have the ability to leave each issue and go to the next. But, unfortunately, I'm not seeing a lot of that out in Pierre these days.
Senate leadership has, as of Wednesday, announced no formal punishments or censures connected to the incident on crossover day. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Pierre.
The Department of Social Services warns a bill could inhibit their ability to protect children from neglect and abuse. However, proponents say the legislation is thorough and includes protections. The so-called parental rights bill is now heading to the House floor. Senate Bill 190 applies strict scrutiny to parental rights. Strict scrutiny is a legal standard that requires the government to prove an action is serving a compelling governmental interest, is narrowly tailored, and using the least restrictive means possible. That would now be applied to a parent's right to direct the upbringing, education, health care, and mental health of their child. A similar bill died last year over concerns it could provide legal protections to abusive parents. Those concerns persisted for this bill, as the Department of Social Services and Attorney General's Office opposed the bill. It requires parents to give consent for any medical examination, surgical procedure, or mental health evaluation of their child. While one section of the bill includes protections for parents suspected of abuse and neglect, it's inclusive to only that section. Opponents argue that muddies the water. That includes Tiffany Wolfgang, the Chief of Children and Family Services for DSS. She argues the bill's language could delay critical assessments.
Particularly in cases where a parent is suspected as a perpetrator or refuses to cooperate. In those moments, time matters, and any delay in assessing the injuries, trauma, or immediate safety concerns puts children at risk.
Proponents say the bill strikes a balance to accommodate that. The bill opens the door for legal disputes over South Dakota's ban on transgender surgeries and gender-affirming care for minors. Norman Woods is the executive director of Family Voice Action, a supporter of the bill. He tells SDPB while a person could sue South Dakota right now,
"Will somebody raise a question? I'm sure. But it gets down to the fundamental question of, you know, you're talking the surgeries that the Help Not Harm bill prohibited. Are those good for a child, or is that a form of child abuse? And so it gets down to that fundamental question."
The bill advances to the House floor on an 8-5 committee vote. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. Lawmakers advance a bill changing the cooling-off period for state employees who want to work at a new employer that derived a benefit the employee approved. Senate Bill 93 is in response to South Dakota Searchlight reporting on a member of the Board of Economic Development working for CJ Schwanz. He approved millions of dollars to the company. The current cooling off period is 1 year. The Senate approved a tiered system that allowed some employees to continue with a single year. The second tier is for 2 years. That applies to employees if they approved a contract for more than $5 million. The first tier is meant to keep young workers seeking to move up the career ladder the ability to do so if they have minimal involvement. The House State Affairs Committee amends and passes the bill to make it 2 years for all employees. They argued without the change, it doesn't have teeth. Senator Tim Reid is the bill's prime sponsor. He urged the committee against the amendment.
While I understand the teeth comment, but somebody else might get chewed up in this that really shouldn't, you know, should have the opportunity to move on to a better job.
Senate Bill 93 heads to the House floor. Lawmakers strike down an overhaul of the South Dakota tax system. House Bill 1308 would have increased the state's sales tax for homeowner-occupied property tax relief and support annual increases to state employee, teacher, and health care provider wages. However, representatives on the House floor couldn't rubber stamp the tax shift, which leaves some wondering if the body can get meaningful relief done this year. Here's the House floor debate in their own words.
Representative Szymanski.
So what does House Bill 1308 do? It proactively provides funding for 2% annual wage increase, which will still not quite keep up with the cost of living for all of our employees of the state of South Dakota, teachers, technical colleges, and Medicare providers. Secondly, it provides funding for meaningful owner-occupied property tax reductions. That property tax reduction is now in the form of 29 to 44% average statewide decrease per home. And it accomplishes those two things by adjusting the state sales tax in the first year by moving fiscal year 2027 from 4.2% to 4.7%. And in the second year, fiscal year 2028, it goes from 4.7 to 5.0. The funds generated, obviously, from the adjustment provides for the makeup of the owner-occupied property tax relief and funds the annual wage increase.
Representative Nordstrom.
So what's happening with this bill in the first year is sales are going down $450 million. That's not good.
Representative Peterson.
I regretfully stand in opposition to this bill today, and I have an immense amount of respect for the good prime sponsor and all the people that have been helping him. But I'm standing up here as a family farmer and rancher today, and while this bill does a lot of good for a lot of families, you know, a large majority of the families, it doesn't do much good for family farms and ranches. 29 to 44% owner-occupied savings. That's great for the owner-occupied, but as a percentage of our taxes as family farms and ranches, that's a small percentage if you apply it to ours. So, and in addition, as the good representative from Winter asked the question, our taxes are actually going to go up more than likely. I mean, I don't want to start using numbers, but I did the math on our farm, and we unfortunately have to spend a lot every year when you average it out. You know, when you do your renewals with the bank, you say, how much are we spending an acre? And the bankers all tell me we use $150 across the board. So you've $150 an acre on equipment costs times X acres is what farmers are spending. So if you're farming 1,000 acres, $150,000, $400,000 to $600,000. Do the math. But it ends up being a lot of new tax, and our offsetting savings on our residential isn't great. But more of a thing than that is just the equitability of it. When some families are going to have 20 to 30% savings on their entire tax bill in the state, and then other families are going to have no savings or an increase, I'm all about equity, and that's why I think this just doesn't work.
Representative Ladner.
We've been trying to address this issue for the past 5 years. For 2 years, people wouldn't even talk about it. At least now we have a voice. The people of this state finally have a voice in this. You know, to address the ag issues, worked 10 years on implementing a productivity model, which uses the 8-year Olympic average, which highly benefited them, and shifts some of the expenses onto owner-occupied and commercial. So, and I worked on a grassland bill that reduced ag's grassland tax rate significantly. We worked on elderly and disabled tax freeze, highly benefiting our older population. Ag currently pays the lowest mill levy of all three classes. Ag producers are business owners. They can expense out their expenses. They can expense out the cost of buying new equipment where a homeowner cannot. I had one rancher in a Cracker Barrel come up and say, our beef prices, our beef prices are the highest they've ever been, but we've been in a drought. What if we hit another drought? And I looked at him and just kindly said, our homeowners have been in a drought for over 5 years since COVID. Where's their relief? DOR loves to use the word shift. Anytime something changes, something else has to change. It's like sitting on the edge of a waterbed. You sit on it, one side goes up. If you get up, it equalizes out. If they really like your proposal, they call it an equalization. There is always going to be a ripple effect. And we just have to come to grips with, when is enough enough? 41% to 44% in counties average across the state. That to me is a significant, significant advantage for our homeowners. Not to mention ag can get that same tax break on their owner-occupied home that's on their land and a certain amount of land around that home. So it actually does have a benefit for ag. We can sit here all day and do the woulda, shoulda, couldas, but we haven't done any woulda, shoulda, couldas yet. We haven't even, I want to walk away with something.
Lawmakers kill the bill 24-47. Governor Larry Boden signs a set of bills appropriating money for facilities at state universities. Two bills pay for projects at SDSU. They include the construction of a new soccer venue and an addition to the school swine barn. The other bills set aside funds for an athletic facility at USD. Boden has signed 54 bills into law so far this session.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
The City of Watertown is launching a new service to deliver emergency messages to residents. It's called Code Red. It allows Watertown's 911 center to send emergency alerts by phone, text, or email directly to residents of the city and Coddington County. That includes alerts for things like tornado warnings, gas leaks, or public safety threats. City officials say the alerts are based on location, so you only get notifications for your area. You can sign up at watertownalerts.com or by texting Watertown to 36475. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.